For a semester, the war has raged, but now it must come to its inevitable conclusion. For in the game of war, there can only be a single victor. With your host, DJ Ace, the final round of Cinema Wars begins now. And welcome to the final round of Cinema.
Are you okay? Do
you remember last week with Brad?
Oh, I didn't do that on purpose. It was just literally as soon as you started, it was like, I have to call. I
know. Yes.
All right, let's try that again.
Okay.
Welcome to the final round of Cinema Wars. This is the big one, the one we've all been waiting for, the round to end all rounds, okay? So I'm DJ Ace. I got three contestants with me, including but not limited to the...
Yes, limited to.
Yeah, it's limited
to. It's just us.
It's just us for the final ones.
That's true. It sounded better in my head.
Do you even English, bro?
Anyway, including last year's champion, Chris Morgan. Do you want to say hi, Chris?
No, I do not.
Do you want to say anything right now, Chris?
I'm just here to win.
Okay, there you have it.
No, you're not.
He's got the victor's pose.
All right, yes. Okay, so since it's the last round, the only way to finish this semester...
Wait, you didn't introduce either of us.
Yeah, what the heck?
I'm getting there.
Oh, okay.
Also is Matt and Lindsay.
Hey!
Hi.
Okay, they will try to oust Chris today, but only one of you win. And that's the other point. There is no bonus rounds or speed rounds. This one's for keeps. You win the main argument or nothing.
All or nothing.
All or nothing.
Yes. All right, so as for the question, this is the last round, so it had to be an epic and grand scale kind of a question. So the question is, what is the greatest movie of all time? So we're going to do this the usual way. We're going to go in order, Lindsay, Chris, and Matt, and then they're going to give me their choice, they're going to give me their why, and then they're going to battle it out to the bitter end. Sound good?
Yeah.
Sounds perfect.
Okie dokie.
Like you.
Okay.
Brown nosing.
Brownie points, Chris. Learn something today, please.
All right, Lindsay. What did you pick?
Run, Forrest, run!
Okay.
It's Forrest Gump.
Yeah, Forrest Gump. Yeah. Awesome, 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 awesome! What'd you pick, champ?
I went a little bit unorthodox from what I normally go with on these kind of things, and I picked a pretty historical movie in Schindler's List.
Ooh.
Oh.
What you got, Matt?
Saving Private Ryan.
Ooh, good one.
Because damn. I really do love Forrest Gump because, you know, Tom Hanks was great in the 90s, but I think he did an even better job in Saving Private Ryan.
Didn't you argue for or against Saving Private Ryan before?
I did.
Which was it, for or against?
It was against because I chose Star Wars Episode 3. It was about, what was it about?
It was about best...
Conflict or something.
It's like action film.
Yeah, best action film.
Okay, cool. So we all kind of taken the historical gambit today, so nothing wrong with that. All right, Lindsay, why did you pick Forrest Gump?
All right, well, Forrest Gump is a movie that is very easy to rewatch over and over and over again. It's one of those movies that, like, you never really get tired of it. You just, every time it's on, and it's on TV, like, all of the time. Like, every time it's on, I'll switch to it and I'll watch it. And it's something that's got a little bit, it's got a little bit of something for everybody. It's lighthearted at times, but it's really serious at times. It talks about some very controversial topics. And it goes through, the journey is just kind of like a lot of fun. And all of the situations that he gets himself into and how they make references to everything. I mean, I was even thinking of the smiley face the other day when they made reference to that. Or they doctor historical footage and will insert Tom Hanks into that historical footage. And that's really unique, I think. So I think it's got a lot of something in it. There's drama and there's comedy and there's romance and... And there's action as well, especially with the Vietnam scenes. And I love the character arcs with Lieutenant Dan. And just as Forrest grows and learns, and especially Jenny as well, just everybody he comes in contact with, they're some phenomenal characters, and they're very memorable. And they're played like real people. And I love that. So that's why I picked Forrest Gump. Also, it's very iconic. Got some very memorable lines.
That is true.
Yes, I agree.
Okie dokie, Chris. Schindler's List.
Okay. While Forrest Gump and Saving Private Ryan are both very good movies, movies that I love to watch, some of the greatest movies of all time are the ones that really have the storylines that just continuously pull the heartstrings and make you want to come back for more, and in some cases even make you cry. Both of those movies both have that, but you don't get much better than the Schindler's List in terms of talking about that. It's talking historically about the Holocaust, one of the worst times in world history, with the Nazis trying to basically eliminate the Jewish race. And it talks about one single guy, a historically greedy German businessman in Schindler, that kind of pulls a 180 and becomes really one of the top humanitarian prospects for the time, and helps people try to avoid the Auschwitz death camp and being gassed out by the Nazis. And it's something that really makes you wonder, okay, obviously the Nazi regime, it's all bad, but not every German was bad at the same time. There were Germans that didn't agree with the Nazis, and obviously Liam Neeson's character, Oskar Schindler, is one of those guys that didn't quite agree with what was going on. So mm-hmm. It really takes you along that journey and makes you realize just how bad things were, and it makes you really feel the emotions going on through the entire movie. It's just entirely well done and extremely historically accurate at certain times throughout the film. And did I mention Liam Neeson?
There you go. You know, it's funny you mentioned that one bit about, you know, there were actually good Germans in Germany during World War II. And one of my favorite lines about that is in Captain America, the First Avenger, when the scientist is like, you know, something people often forget is that the first country the Nazis invaded was Germany. Mm-hmm. So I love that line from that movie. But anywho.
Yeah, side note, my grandpa fought in World War II on the German side, but he was not a Nazi, so.
Yeah. Okay. And going into that,
World War II, let's do it.
So we have Saving Private Ryan, directed by Steven Spielberg, of course. First off, to start, you have an all-star cast with Tom Hanks, Matt Damon. You have even Vin Diesel's on the list further down. But this movie, of course, like Forrest Gump and also Schindler's List, it's very historical. I think it relates a lot to Schindler's List in that account because it's talking about a different side of the same war. Mm-hmm. You know, it's talking about the Americans kind of going in, you know, on Normandy D-Day and trying to do something. You know, they've heard about all these horrible events going on in Germany, in Auschwitz, in all these concentration camps. And, you know, they're trying to fight a war that seems just strictly based on ideology. And what I think is really interesting is that all of the characters and all of the Germans in the movie, they all seem just kind of plunged into something that they don't exactly understand. Like, you know, the opening scene, you see all these Americans get shot down. You know, they're just overfilled with dread and fear and outrage, and then they're being slaughtered. And then later on, you see some Germans, you see some of the Nazis, and you see how they're dealing with everything. It's pretty similar to how, you know, the Americans are dealing with this war, that they have to just fight each other and just slaughter each other constantly. And I think it kind of makes a gray area with, like, you know, where each side is doing some really, really brutal things. And I think that this film kind of separates itself from Schindler's List in that account, or in that way, because it shows that both sides are you know, doing crimes against humanity, of course, on different levels, as Schindler's List shows. But I think this is more concentrated on the brutality of the war and personal character development. It's not really about this story or this plot about finding Matt Damon yet again, but of course it is about finding him, but I think it's more just about Tom Hanks' development as this guy who's gonna lead his fleet of men to rescue something like the last son of the family or something. Of course, you know, you have great cinematography, you have great action sequences, music's outstanding. You can't really go wrong with Steven Spielberg in the 90s, of course, another 90s movie. Tom Hanks, he can't go wrong, you know. Forrest Gump, he does a great job, but I think here he's able to focus in more on one character. I feel like in Forrest Gump, he has to go to different generations and kind of fit in with that generation, which I think is really cool. But I think in Saving Private Ryan, he's able to close in on one time, you know, one time period, and totally lose himself in the role. And you see that in the final scene where he's being killed by, you know, the Nazis in that one city or whatever, in that one village. He's just shooting away because he already knows he's dead, but he's tried his best, and he doesn't really get to see Matt Damon get rescued, but we know what happens, and I think he does see it, but you know, then he dies. You know, it's just kind of dramatic, and then you go back to the very beginning of the movie where he's at the cemetery, kind of, you know, dramatic. But I think it's just a great historical piece. You know, we watched it in AP Euro in high school. You know, and it's also entertaining for people who just want to watch an action-packed movie. And I think it'll stay that way for another, you know, 30, 40, 50 years. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool. For the record, I've seen your movie, I've seen half of your movie, and I've never seen your movie.
Are you kidding?
Nope.
I have not seen the full thing of Schindler's List either, but I know a lot about it.
Now for the interesting part. This is the part where you argue to the death.
I'm kidding.
Not to the death. But what's interesting is if Lindsay wins, she's like steals the championship away forever because she's graduating. Just keep that in mind.
Well, see, I don't know. It's interesting. I think we all picked really interesting, like, well-known movies that have been really well-received and won a lot of mm-hmm. awards. And I like that. I haven't seen either of your movies, but I feel like I've heard enough about them that I know what happens in general. I mean, I know yours is about the Holocaust, and I know about Oscar Schindler, and I've heard enough about Saving Private Ryan, and I've heard pretty much nothing but good things about mm-hmm. all of them. But I think the reason I haven't seen those movies is because I know that they're so sad. And there's nothing wrong to me with something being sad. Sometimes that is what makes the movie or whatever. And sometimes you're just like, I really want to cry today. Mm-hmm. But and those movies are like great for that. But to me, I don't know, greatest movie of all time should probably have a certain amount of rewatchability. Mm-hmm. And I feel mm-hmm. like movies that are so drama heavy are very, very hard. You have to be in the right mood to watch them. And that's why I think Forrest Gump is kind of something different, because it does have something for everyone. I mean, kids can watch it. Adults can watch it. Kids might not understand certain parts of it, but there is something for everyone.
May I interject really quick?
Sure.
Okay, so there's this one album that I listen to very occasionally. It's called Hospice by the Antlers. And of course, you know, the title of the album is not very, you know, happy at all. Mm-hmm. The album is outstanding, though. Mm-hmm. Those guys, they set out to make an album, you know, strictly for the art and to get a message across. You know, they wanted to get across their feelings. They didn't really care about the entertainment value as much. They cared about, you know, freedom of expression. And I think they nailed it perfectly. You know, I was in, when I was buying it at the store, like this exchange called The Exchange. It's a movie and CD store, like, you know, of used materials. And I go in there, like, I ask for the CD, and it's like, oh my gosh, yes, that. Like, he just knew right off the top of his head. He's like, yeah, that album's crazy, you know. It's been out for, like, you know, maybe 6 years. But, like, the entire staff there was like, oh, my gosh, you want mm-hmm. to get that? Like, that's phenomenal, okay? But, like, the point I'm trying to make is that I think that you can't really base the greatest movie in the world or the greatest piece of art in the world on its entertainment value necessarily. You know, with Schindler's List, for example, it's outstanding because of the fact of how crucial, how brutal it is and how, you know, depressing it is. There's nothing wrong with a great comedy with action and some comedy and some all that drama. But I think that you shouldn't really say like it needs to have drama, comedy and action to make a good movie or the best movie. So I think that it's really about the message and the expression and the emotion that you can get from it. And I think that it's, you know, younger audiences aren't going to understand what the greatest movie of the world is because they've only seen a limited amount. And I think as you get older, you start to respect the ones that are a little more dramatic. And you see other movies that are trying to be dramatic, mm-hmm. but they really just plummet because they're just, it's a hit or miss with dramas. You know, like, you know, you see a bunch of indie films, it's like a hit or miss because they're just all categorized as indie sometimes because of how stereotypical or cliche they are. I think Saving Private Ryan did a great job of standing out from that and being very depressing, but also another war movie that could stand out and be very graphic. They had a great budget for it, of course, but I think that visually it was outstanding and, you know, disturbing, and I think that's what set it apart from other movies around this, other war movies at that time period. You know, you have, what's the one, Kubrick film about war, Vietnam, Full Metal Jacket.
Okay.
Yes. That movie, of course, was another great one on my list, but it was not as graphic. I mean, I'm not saying that violence is the key to a great movie. It's really about the shock. It's really about what a movie does to you personally, I think.
And I think, especially in today's world, people really love drama. I mean, it's what's kept shows like Grey's Anatomy going for so long,
yeah.
even though the storyline at this point is pretty much dead.
Mm-hmm.
People just keep going back for the drama, and movies like Schindler's List give you that drama all the way through. And to kind of back up another point, something that I learned in my German cinema class a mm-hmm. couple of semesters ago was that in America, we don't really see the other side of things from other cultures.
Yeah.
We don't see that a lot. Schindler's List is one of those movies that really gives you that other side from the German perspective of what the Nazis were doing in Germany at the time. And it takes you through that early portion of the war when the Nazis were first really starting to come to power and creating the death camps. We'd never really see that outside of actual German cinema in terms of the German people dealing with that shock value and that change in their society. And Spielberg does a fantastic job of capturing that from an American filmmaker type of role. He gives us that cultural diversity, which is something that we really lack in today's America. I mean, let's be honest. We like to stick to ourselves. We don't really care about other cultures. At least most people don't. Some people do. I know Lindsay does a lot. You've been to Spain. You know what other cultures are like. You have to be culturally diverse to really understand the world as a whole. Mm-hmm. And Schindler's List is one of the all-time great movies that gives you that diversity and takes you on that plunge from a different point of view.
Mm-hmm. I do want to say that there are other movies that have done a great job doing that. Mm-hmm. Look at, it's based off a book, but The Boy in the Striped Pajamas.
Oh,
you know,
that is true.
Yeah.
I saw that. I watched that one night and
it's sad.
Yeah. I haven't read the book, but I know it's that the really movie sad. Is really phenomenal. You get was a kid British or is he English? The kid on the other side of the concentration camp.
I don't remember.
But he's on the Allied side, mm-hmm. basically, or his family is, you know, borderline, and he's just an infant. He's basically just a little kid that doesn't understand the war. I think it's great going into a movie like that and seeing, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, these guys can be friends. And I think it showed the brutality of the concentration camps just as well. So I just want to say that I think that other movies have done a good job as well making that point. I just think that I like more about The Boy in the Striped Pajamas was that it kind of threw in the little kid side. I haven't seen much of Schindler's List, but I think it did a great job of, you know, capturing like a friendship as well as just the brutality and the horrid nature of concentration camps. Because I was more upset, you know, at the time, like about this boy dying with his best friend, basically in the shower or the gas chamber.
Yeah.
So I think that's what also makes a great movie is when it you know the basic concept that, you know, this is going to be a Holocaust movie. Like, going into it, you expect to see, you know, horrid images of concentration camps, but I don't think you go in expecting the individual character development mm-hmm. as much. You go in for the shock factor and everything. I think with The Boy in the Striped Pajamas or, you know, Saving Private Ryan, I think you're able to pull more from the character development and see more of their personal struggle and their development more. You know, same goes with Forrest Gump. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, you totally see Tom Hanks change. You know, you mm-hmm. see his girl change. Oh, what's her name?
Jenny.
You see Jenny change. I think that's what Schindler's List kind of lacks.
Yeah.
There's definitely development. Yeah. But I think that it's easy. I think it's great when you have a movie that can do both, you know, can put the Holocaust or the major event going on in the world on as a side note and develop the characters more and have like another story going on.
Right. It's hard because it's, you know, greatest movie of all time. That's a very subjective thing.
Yes,
because great is different for every person.
Yeah.
And while I think all of our movies are very good, it's hard to compare them because mm-hmm. it's like all movies, essentially, their job is to tell a story. Their job is to make us fall in love with characters. And certainly some movies do that better than others. But I think ours are kind of along the same plane.
Yeah.
In terms of like making you care about the story, making you care about the characters and get invested in things. So it's almost like comparing apples and oranges and bananas.
Yeah. Let's just remember that all these movies on the top 250 list and like the top 50.
Yeah.
Number 4 is The Dark Knight. So let's just that perspective. I love The Dark Knight, though. That's also, I just feel like it's kind of too soon to start bringing that in as the best movie in the world, but no, I'm glad that nobody really mentioned Shawshank. I think that movie is highly overrated.
I haven't seen that one.
I mean, it's great. Don't get me wrong. It's another great movie with an all-star cast. I mean,
I think that's something else that really adds to a movie's greatness is its endless ability to constantly go through the times. Mm-hmm. All three of these movies really have.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. One thing kind of going off on a tangent here, something that I thought about, one thing that I like about my movie that I think makes it stand out is I enjoy movies that talk about some more, that are a little more controversial. Certainly all of our movies are definitely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I really like the ones that kind of explore mental disabilities and physical disabilities and things like that and don't shy away from that. And that's one thing that I think Forrest Gump did so well is the main character is mentally disabled, but that doesn't change. It changes the way people interact with him sometimes, but it also doesn't in other cases. And it's one of my favorite scenes is you don't see throughout the movie really how much of an effect how people treat him has on him because he's such a happy person. He's always really excited, wants to do, you know, good things and help people out and just be a friend. And then at the very end, when he meets his son for the first time and he gets really emotional and he goes, is he smart?
Mm-hmm.
And when she tells him yes, and he starts crying, it's like, it's really telling, you know, how much it's great commentary, I think, on how much how awful people can be to people who have mental disabilities. And it doesn't matter if these people with these disabilities want only the best for everyone in the world and, you know, want to just be a light that shines on everything. Sometimes just the fact that you don't speak quite as well or you can't run or wear leg braces or something like that, that instantly like people turn on you. Mm-hmm. But I also do like that you see the good in humanity as well in this movie.
Going off of that, though, with the mental disability, in Saving Private Ryan, there's a scene where they get word that there is a German fleet or a German there's some Nazis around, and they're in like this building or this castle or some structure. and they're like, okay, we have to go because they are the closest group to the Nazis, and they have to go attack them, of course, in battle and take over the area. And so, of course, everyone's like, all right, together, they're like, let's do this, you know? But when they actually get there, one of the characters, he freezes, and he's like, uh-oh, what do I do? I think, you know, he's like, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. You know, he's frozen, and I think that he wants to do it, but he's also internally struggling with the idea of, you know, doing this. And I think that this scene kind of represents post-traumatic stress or post-traumatic stress disorder that I feel like a lot of soldiers faced after, because it showed from his perspective, him watching basically World War II take place. Mm-hmm. He saw his friends get killed. He saw Germans being blown up by his own friends. He saw one of his guys come back and be torn open, his organs falling out, him screaming, his blood pressure going very high, mm-hmm. and then dying. And this guy is just sitting there watching it. He's like, he knows that, you know, it's a crime against your nation to like run away from war or mm-hmm. run away. But he's like so encapsulated by the idea of this being so awful, and he doesn't know what to do. And I think it shows, like, you know, what would the average person do? And I think that's something that, you know, we don't know who's going to be the one to freeze like that. But I think it shows what leads to post-traumatic stress so well. And that scene has stuck with me for years. Right. And I'm thinking about it right now. Like, it's hard to.
Yeah.
Because I can only imagine what it would actually be like to be in his position to see all this take place, transpire. You know, he's like, you know, it's slow motion. Effects are going on, and he's just kind of watching and just in awe. And I think it's just the music playing in the background. There's like a slight echo, and like the actual audio of like the machine guns, people screaming. Very dramatic moment. And I think that it's kind of goes off the idea of mental disability, of course, a different kind.
Right.
But I love movies that can't actually tap into mental disability and talk about it. Really,
an important thing for me is generally like what I qualify as some sort of media being good, mm-hmm. being successful, is it inspires discussion. I was talking mm-hmm. about this at my radio show the other day, but it's like that's what makes it good for me is if it inspires discussion, it gets mm-hmm. people to talk about a topic.
Yeah.
And I love that PTSD is mm-hmm. it. People are talking about it because it is something that people go through. And once you start discussing it, you can discuss ways to cope with it, ways mm-hmm. and it becomes less of a stigma.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's mental disabilities, like that was a thing in the Holocaust as well. Mm-hmm. Like people mm-hmm. were thrown into concentration camps because of mental or physical disabilities, or even just for, you know, being gay or mm-hmm. or obviously Jewish or like not gypsies, having, homeless, you know.
Brown hair or
being
ginger,
sick. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Literally anything.
Yeah.
And Schindler's List really dives into the emotional distress side of that, too, mm-hmm. taking all of their emotions and putting them out on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, it still preaches the message that even the people you don't expect to can step up and be leaders and mm-hmm. can find the good in themselves. I mean, Oskar Schindler is probably one of the greediest businessmen that you've ever seen at the beginning of the film. And even he, who takes advantage of people with his shadiness at times, can come out of the darkness and try to realize that this is wrong and try to get other people to realize that it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And doing whatever he can physically do to help remedy the situation and try to be there for people, getting people out of the situation. He tries to get Jewish people out of the country, and it just shows that even the worst of us can have those moments where mm-hmm. they can really show their true goodness deep down inside of them.
What I do like about Schindler's List compared to, or with Saving Private Ryan, is that they both have these characters that they're not really, they kind of put aside just what's going on around them and trying to help individual people, I think, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Hanks, he's trying to find Matt Damon and get him out of the country too. He's like, this is not for you. Get out of here, kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think he makes it personal. I like, you know, Liam Neeson does, mm-hmm. make it very personal. Because I think that's what kind of makes it a character-based story instead of a plot-based story,
right.
You know, because I think, you know, the biggest argument I think in movies and in TV shows right now is what's more important, plot or character development, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they're pretty similar. You can't have one without the other, but
yeah.
I think people, you know, like, take The Walking Dead. I hate that show. I absolutely hate that show because I look at it as just a plot-based, you know, show. But other people argue that it's, you know, about the characters and how they develop. And
yeah.
I think what Schindler's List and Saving Private Ryan do very well is they develop their characters primarily based on their own struggles. And I think Forrest Gump does that too.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we have enough time to see other characters develop because he
yeah.
jumps around so much. Of course, the characters that he does, that the director does develop are phenomenal.
Right.
Arguably one of my most favorite movies of all time as well.
Yeah.
But I think that Saving Private Ryan has that time to work with a, mm-hmm. you know, a certain group of guys to see how they deal with, you know, getting this mission accomplished, you know, which is arguably a plot-based story, but also it's not really, you don't really care about that. You care about how they're going to do it. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's about how these characters are going to work together to do it. And the scene in the church where they're talking about life and everything, it's kind of like foreshadowing, of course, the bad that's going to come. It's inevitable, you know, not many people made it out of this war alive, but it's just kind of like a peaceful moment that I think is also depressing.
Right.
So.
No, I know what you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
but it's like, it's interesting because I would usually, I would agree with you in the fact that, yes, I wish some of the characters in Forrest Gump had a little more time to develop and things
mm-hmm.
like that. But the interesting thing is that it's being told like it's inside his head.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why most of the stuff is on him. And certainly I would have loved to see more of the side characters. And
yeah.
We saw a lot of Lieutenant Dan. We saw a lot of Jenny.
Yeah.
We saw a fair amount of Bubba while he was in there. But
mm-hmm.
But it was really, you notice like the only characters that you spent time with were characters that he spent time with.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really interesting. But I do like the fact that I don't think any of our movies shy away from showing that, you know, not everyone has a happy ending.
Yeah.
Just as much as some people do have a happy ending.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on what you define as happy. But
yeah.
But I saw one of my favorite moments in Forrest Gump in particular was when they're in Vietnam and things go
mm-hmm,
get
yeah.
serious and Bubba is sitting there and he's wounded, mortally wounded, and he's on the beach and Forrest is holding him and Bubba's just sitting there, I want to go home, and he
mm-hmm.
doesn't make it off of that beach. And it's a heart-wrenching moment, but then you look at like Lieutenant Dan, who was expecting to die in the war. He
mm-hmm.
almost wanted to.
Yeah.
And he was saved, and he was like, why did you save me? For years and years, he hated Forrest because
mm-hmm.
he was supposed to die in that war. But then he had a moment to kind of develop and kind of make peace with it and get a second chance at life. And I like that both aspects of that were shown.
Yeah.
And I imagine, like I said, I haven't seen either of your movies, but I do imagine that it's kind of reflected in the same way in some of those characters.
Close, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know if we...
Cool. Well, I think we can wrap it up here if you have nothing else to say.
This is really a tough
yeah.
discussion to
yeah.
have.
It's
just hard because it's like I said, you know, they're all kind of on the same plane, but they're so different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Indeed. How do you
different
think I feel? I have to choose one of you.
Yeah.
But as we like to say on the show, there can only be one.
Always only one.
Oh, buddy. The real winner is me. No, I'm kidding.
Okay.
Yeah, you are.
Hosting Cinema Wars.
And making the tough decisions every
and making,
week.
Yes, every week.
Someone has to make the hard decisions.
You the real MVP.
Anyway, for real, Leos, the spring 2016 Cinema Wars champion is going to have to be... Lindsay.
Yep, I thought so. That was my number one choice, by the way.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
All right. there you have it.
So I completely, wholeheartedly agree with that.
That is the end. Congratulations, Lindsay. I don't know how you pulled it off, but you
did. I don't know. I just ramble until people agree with me.
Yeah. It's really funny. If you look at the spreadsheet I have of all the scores, you like had a really strong first half of the semester, then you dropped off for the second half.
It's because I didn't like any of the prompts.
But then you still got here somehow, so it's beautiful.
Yeah, everyone else sucks.
Yep.
So I guess you'll just have to try again next year and reclaim it, Chris.
Nah, it won't. Come on. Let's be real, Chris.
Let's be real.
All right.
That concludes this season of Cinema Wars. We'll be back next semester, fall 2016. And as always,
bye.
Stay classy.
You want to say goodbye, Chris?
Goodbye, Chris.
Who was second place? Goodbye, Chris.
There is no second place.
What?
You win or you don't.
All right, fair enough.
But yeah, and tons of movies coming out this summer, so go see them.
Yay. Yes.
Civil War.
Suicide Squad.
Yes.
The
Dory.
Founders. The Founders. Have you guys heard about The Founders with Michael Keaton? That looks really cool.
All right, yep. I'm going to wrap this up for real now.
All right.
No. All right.
No, you're not.
That's a wrap.
Yeah. No, lots of movies coming out this summer. Keep it on Cinema Central to find out all sorts of cool stuff over the summer. Goodbye.
Bye.
That's all, folks.
The war has ended, but there will always be more wars to be waged. Stay tuned, fall semester 2016 on Cinema Central for the next Cinema War.